A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
So I have a real hard time with it if somebody dead names my kid in front of me, or more especially her, because I think once it can be a mistake, after you know, twice, it's probably not a mistake. There's got to be some conscious effort going into calling her something that she hasn't been for 6 years. In front of her, I generally use Gabriella all the time. And sometimes I'll ask permission. I'll be like, hey, do you remember when you were two? May I tell this story? I'll ask, may I tell this story with your then name? And I don't call it a dead name in front of her. She doesn't refer to it as that. But in front of her, I will never use, if we're together in a group, I will never use Gideon.
Right.
And for historical references and context, like a book, it worked. For me, it was a conscious choice to use the previous name, the dead name, and now. And I kind of followed her journey.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. As we like to say, the show whose mission is to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate our beautiful queer families, y'all. And we are really doing that today in this episode. We are going to do a deep dive into a parent's perspective on their child's gender transition today. It was such a great conversation. Kate Brooks wrote an affirming, a raw and honest book about the process of her young daughter transitioning and how she and her family experienced the transition. It is a really candid conversation. She's very open. I can't wait for you to hear it from a cisgender straight mother's perspective. And also, I just do want to mention, as you saw in the beginning clip there, throughout the book and even in this interview a bit, Kate does slip between pronouns, he and she pronouns, and sometimes calls her daughter Gabriella by her given name, Gideon. And that was a deliberate decision to do it that way in the book. And it was a discussion she had with her daughter, made sure her daughter was fine with her to tell their story this way for historical context. And it was a conversation within the family too, that this is the way they were going to tell their personal story. And everybody's on board in the family, and that's the way they're doing it. So I just wanted to mention that up front, just to let you all know that this is the family's decision and how they would tell their story. And also, there is no video for this episode. You notice that. If you're listening, you've probably noticed there's no video attached to the episode. And that is at the request of Kate, just to protect the privacy of her family and her children who are still teenagers. And so we've done that for her. So I hope you enjoy listening. It is a really, really just wonderful conversation and interview. And before I roll the tape, or before Helen and Beulah roll the tape, I just have to remind you today, right now, today, the day this episode drops, July 31st is the last day that you can vote for this here podcast, for the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And I won't win it unless I get your votes. You're going to go to podcastawards.com and make a little account. They will not spam you, I promise. And then you're going to go in and you're going to vote for the Queer Family Podcast in two places, the LGBTQ category, obviously, and then also the main category, the main podcast category for like overall best podcast, the first one you see. Do that for me as soon as you can before the end of day. And enjoy this here episode. I'm really happy to share it. All right, Helen and Beulah, my lovely, lovely assistants who are rolling their eyes at me and who actually don't even exist because I don't really have a Helen and Beulah in my life. Roll that tape, please, ladies. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Kate.
Hey, Jamie. How goes it?
How goes it? It goes well with me. How goes it with you?
Awesome. I always say I'm living the dream. And some days I really am. Other days, fake it till you make it.
Always. I mean, that's the story of a parent's life. I feel like that's just parenting 101. I'm really excited to have you. This is Kate Brooks. We should just jump right into it, right into the elevator pitch. Give the listeners a 30-second rundown of who you are, Kate, and why you are here talking to the Queer Family Podcast. Okay, on your mark, get set. Go.
Hello, all. I am Kate Brooks, and I wrote the book I wish I had when my daughter was transitioning. Not a prescriptive narrative, but an affirming, raw, honest account of her process and of ours. There's an idea in our culture, which I think of as the trans version of the Cinderella makeover, that once the trans child has announced their true gender or put on the proverbial glass slipper, the hard work is behind them, that happiness is just one name change, new hairstyle, and a few trips to the mall away, running out of time. But it wasn't like that for our family. Gender expression is not a switch that can be flipped. It's a daily negotiation that my daughter makes with herself and with her world. It is an unfolding series of decision points, who to tell, and when, stay in the same church, synagogue, puberty blockers, hormone replacement, with the parent, in this case me and my husband, trying to help navigate all of it on behalf of a partially developed brain that can't necessarily see all the long-term consequences of each choice. The entire time we're smiling, sometimes a little too brightly, thinking, please be happy, please be happy, please, dear God, just let them be happy.
Yeah. Oof. That was beautiful. You went a little over, but I won't hurt you for it. I love it. It was great. And so, like those of you at home, we're going to deep dive into kind of like a parent's perspective on, you know, what it's like when your child transitions, especially because you yourself, before your child transitioned, Kate, didn't consider yourself a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, did you?
No, I was always an ally. Mm-hmm. And I've always done lots of social justice work. And I say that I really didn't become a trans activist, if you will, until we realized that we 100% botched the birth announcement of our twins.
Oh. right.
Yeah.
That's a cute way of putting it. Yeah. And I say this all the time, and I think this all the time, like, you know, and this is why I feel like there's so much division over this whole queer conundrum in the country and in the world. Unless you know someone, it's really hard to understand it, even as an ally. And I think a lot of folks' problems who are on the wrong side of it, let's be honest, just haven't been close enough to it to realize how human it is.
I would 100% agree with you. I mean, this is the last thing my husband and I thought we would be, and I'll put it in quotes, dealing with. You know, right. You have a kid. We always said we want happy, healthy, kind. Mm-hmm. And when our kids were born, we have twins, they were happy, healthy, and presumably kind. At like day one, you can't tell, but we like to believe they have good inners, and 14 right. years later, they still do.
Yeah.
We were not thinking gender identity, sexuality. We were just thinking happy, healthy, kind.
Right. Let's go dig into it, because I also found it really fascinating because they're twins and they were twin boys at birth. I mean, quote unquote.
Yep. Assigned male at birth.
Yes, exactly. And I found it interesting in reading the book, because that's the thing you don't think about as much when you think about somebody's transition and somebody coming into their own and really owning their identity and the beauty of that and the power in that. We don't always think about the ones that are going through it with that human. And I thought it was just really interesting to hear about how twin brother was handling.
Yeah. twin brother Jacob Alexander did not handle it swimmingly well at the time. And I don't perceive that as a negative. I just think that's honest. He didn't know what to do with it. My husband, right. Mike, and I, we were getting a happy child who was going to live, as you well know, right. statistically.
Yeah.
If you affirm a child's identity, they have great outcomes mental mm-hmm. health-wise. So we were getting a happy child who was going to live. My right. daughter, Gabriella, got to be her authentic self. And our son, Jacob, was like, I got nothing in this deal. I am losing my twin brother.
Yeah.
I lost right. my twin brother. And over time, you know, our hope was that he would come to realize he's gained a happy, healthy twin sister. At 8 mm-hmm. years old, though, lot for him to unpack and understand. I mean, we were yeah. significantly older at the time, my husband and I, and we didn't understand a lot of it. So I think right. that was a lot to put on an 8-year-old.
It's a lot, yeah.
And fast forward, they have an awesome relationship. I mean, they still fight and almost kill each other every day. And the neighbors complain, New York City, you know, apartment living. And they love each other and their relationship is closer than it was when they were allegedly twin brothers.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear.
Yeah, no, Jamie, it's not perfect. I'm just saying they love each other.
Please, trust me. I know. And I also have a brother and that's not pretty either.
No.
And it wasn't. And yeah, my kids make a lot of noise in our New York City apartment, but we happen to have like neighbors who don't say anything, which is like a blessing.
Yeah, I now love our noisy neighbors. I love them because it casts less shadow on us.
Yeah, agreed. That's New York City life. Yeah. That's what, okay. But let's get a little backstory on your story to having your children and then where we went. Like, let's just.
Yeah. So my husband and I, we knew when we met before we were husband and wife that we wanted kids. Mm-hmm. It took us a while to get pregnant, you know, 7 fertility treatments after a long, long, long time of trying. And after a while, it's not as much fun. And it's generally more fun, you know, in the bed than it is in the doctor's office.
So right. by the and time all you. Of us, we don't get to do it in the bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was most some bed fun.
Most of it.
Then the bed was, it didn't matter. The bed could have been any appliance or anything. Yeah. It was just not right. being used.
So you have something in common with the queer community right there.
Yeah.
Like you started out in common with us.
Loving
that's
it.
For sure.
Loving it.
Yeah.
So after 7 tries, we finally got pregnant, was so super happy, realized we were having twins, did not decide to find out the genders for no particular reason other than we wanted to be surprised. Mm-hmm. We knew we were having twins right away because when you do IVF, you know everything right away.
Yeah, right.
And you have to just not look at the screen if you don't want to see anything. So when they were born, you know, I remember the doctor C-section pulled one out and said, it's a boy. And then right. pulled the next one out and said, it's another boy. And I remember my husband and I were like, oh, it'll be a double bar mitzvah.
Right.
And fast forward. Well, actually, let's take a step back. I generally didn't like girls, didn't want right. girls, was scared of girls, think they can be mean and clawing like cats and moody. And I sometimes as a kid fell victim to the mean girl stuff. And I did not just thought boys would be much easier.
Right.
And interestingly, so Gideon and Jacob, Gideon, who is now Gabriella, mm-hmm. when Gideon, who obviously was assigned male at birth, first came out, we thought he was more rough and tumble and we tended to dress him in the more manly clothes. Mm-hmm. And I always presumed he would be the football player and he would bring home the girls, the pretty girls, and that and then steal any girl that his brother Jacob, who was more of a pretty boy, brought home. I just thought, yeah. you know, he was our tough guy. He was yeah. definitely going to be the only Jewish linebacker.
Right.
And as Gideon started expressing at the time himself, I noticed that loved pink and purple. Lots mm-hmm. of boys love pink and purple. Mm-hmm. Loved wearing tutus. Lots of boys love wearing tutus. Did go down the street, you know, pointing at women's shoes saying heels, flats, mm-hmm. which like, you know, at 2 years old, there's nothing cuter than that.
Right. Yeah.
And then it became more concerning, not because I was concerned that maybe he was actually as she, but because I could see that from ages about 3 to 7, Gideon was struggling with right. with himself, really mm-hmm. herself. And at times, I remember at age 5 or 6 after a birthday party, he was up at night and he was crying because he said his friends didn't know him. And I'm like, what do you mean your friends don't know you? And he was like, well, the only one who got me a Barbie was my friend Gila, his best little girlfriend who they thought yeah. they were going to get married. And I'm like, gosh, your friends know you? They know you just like your brother's friends know him. And he was like, no, but Jacob got all the toys he wanted. And I'm like, well, why don't we exchange some of the toys and you can get what you do want? And that seemed to make him calmer. And then that night, you know, rubbing his back, thought he was relaxing after we're going to return everything. And he said, "Mommy." And I said, "Yes." He said, "You know, sometimes I wish I was a girl." And mm-hmm. I said, "Well, Mommy and Daddy will love you whether you're a boy, a girl, or a bunny rabbit." Mm-hmm. And I don't know how the bunny rabbit came into my mouth. And that was enough just to tell my child that it would be okay that he fell asleep. As I left the room and poured myself a glass of wine equivalent to a Starbucks venti.
Of course.
Because it was a lot.
Yeah.
And then over time, you know, Gideon realized that he was actually a she, which he called a transistor.
Right.
He thought he was a transistor. That's the name of the book.
Yeah, which is adorable. It's a sweet moment in the book.
Yeah.
Like, I want to just call out right now, like, even like in talking about the birth and things like that, like, it's so funny how, and we all are inherently like on this binary gendered path. Even when I was crazy, when I found out I was having a boy, I was like, absolutely not. I don't want a boy. Like, it was such a thing for me.
That was like the opposite of me. I did not want a girl.
Right. But I mean, it's so funny how we get wrapped up in gender. And I'm in the queer community. I'm married to a woman. My life is all about interviewing all types of families. And I interview folks who are trans, and I have trans friends, and still I'm giving birth and I'm talking and thinking in this binary way. And that's, I want to say that because it's so inherent and ingrained in us as humans because of the society and the air we breathe. And so I just find it fascinating. And also, like, when is that going to change? You know what I mean?
I 100% agree. And Jamie, it's kind of funny, not ha-ha, but if I look back at my childhood now, I would have absolutely been considered gender nonconforming. But I was what they would call a tomboy.
Right.
Even when Gideon could first talk, pointed to me, he was like, "Mommy, you're not a fancy mommy." I'm like, "No, kid, I'm not a fancy mommy. I can dress up, but I'm decidedly not a fancy mommy." But I also look back, I mean, Jamie, when I was a kid and you had Legos, you just got primary color Legos. Now, as a parent, almost have to decide. You have to decide whether you're getting Star Wars or My Little Pony. So it's it's almost like the industry decides for you.
Yeah.
And you actually have to search to just get primary color Legos.
It's impossible to get like unisex toys. Yeah. Like, it's insane. But so, right. So like it's in everything.
Yes.
And it's really hard to turn this around. And even when I'm talking about birth and when I'm talking about my children, I hear myself speaking in the binary and thinking in gender, and drives me crazy because I know we need to move past that.
You know, you read the book. I mean, I call my husband Spreadsheet Man because like he's never met a spreadsheet he doesn't like. We're complete opposites in that sense. And for him, I think this was really hard because he's used to, in times of stress, he looks to numbers and spreadsheets to kind of help solve the chaos. And when our daughter, Gabriella, officially changed her name to Gabriella on her birth certificate, when we were talking to the lawyer about it, that was like the first time my husband cried. And I think it's because in his eyes, his formerly codified world that all lined up and was so binary now was like thrown into absolute chaos.
Yeah.
Because I knew for a long time that I did not think our child was going to fit, neither of our children were going to fit into a box. I didn't necessarily know it was going to be the gender identity box, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they've always been interesting people.
Yeah, of course.
Not, you know, gender aside, they're interesting little fascinating humans.
Why don't we talk about also just kind of, because before we started recording, we talk about in the book how first part of the book, you do call Gideon by his name and you use he, him pronouns.
Yes.
And then as the book kind of rolls on, you start using G more often, I noticed. And then, you know, as the transition happens, then we talk about Gabriella and she, her. And I asked you what your thoughts were behind actually naming the dead name, so to speak.
Yep. So I have a real hard time with it if somebody dead names my kid in front of me, or more especially her, because I think once it can be a mistake, after you know, twice, it's probably not a mistake. There's got to be some conscious effort going into calling her something that she hasn't been for 6 years. In front of her, I generally use Gabriella all the time. And sometimes I'll ask permission. I'll be like, "Hey, do you remember when you were two? May I tell this story?" I'll ask, "May I tell this story with your then name?" Mm-hmm. And I don't call it a dead name in front of her. She doesn't refer to it as that. But in front of her, I will never use, if we're together in a group, I will never use Gideon.
Right.
And for historical references and context, like a book, it worked. For me, it was a conscious choice to use the previous name, the dead name, and now. And I kind of followed her journey when she, mm-hmm. you know, she had 13 names. She was a little indecisive. And that was hard. And Jacob had a hard time with that, just keeping track. And we had a hard time keeping track. But we followed her lead. And she had specific rules. Only call me in the home when it's the four of us, when no one's here. And, you know, we practiced when we went to her gender therapist. That's when she practiced putting on her girl clothes when she was still presenting as a boy and using the name of the week and going around and introducing herself. So mm-hmm. in some ways, I feel like I'm just kind of following her lead in the book. Mm-hmm. And telling her story, well, I consider it a parenting story, but you kind of need the kids to be a parent. So right. there's a lot of, I followed her lead in terms of how I wrote that part.
Yeah.
Those parts.
Yeah. And it is, it's the story told through your perspective.
Right.
And kind of like a mother trying to help their child through a transition.
Wasn't easy for us. I mean, it's the absolute most amazing transition in the world because I can legitimately say I am now mom to a exceptionally happy, well-adjusted 14-year-old teenage daughter. I mean, that has its own complexities. And she is happy and beautiful and funny and kind and silly. So she can be happy and still not like parts of her body.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Both are true.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about you noticing all the turmoil, you know, and how she was struggling and the road to where you are now.
There was a lot of angst. And like when he was like, sometimes I think I'm just going to turn into a girl. Or mm-hmm. when he would come back from a play date with his girl posse and he'd have braided their hair and worn their clothes and sometime, you know, wear dresses at home, but didn't like to after a certain age wear dresses out. And there were times that I could, you know, he'd have so much fun and then he'd come home and be alone. And it's like he was still a boy in his eyes.
Right.
So we watched the struggle. And as he matured and got, you know, older, you know, from like 2 to 8, the ripe old age of 8, it became more pronounced. And I actually felt at times that he was getting depressed, mm-hmm. you know, having little bouts of little, you know, kid depression, which is still real. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. broke my heart. And I did think a lot of it had to do with not knowing who he was. And I thought as her mom, I really thought this was coming since about 2 or 3. And we didn't want to push our kid in any particular direction.
Right.
And I think we were scared to know the answer to the question of is our kid
so
trans?
Many layers. To see your child struggling is absolutely terrible. And, you know, like for instance, okay, so my kids are around queer community all the time. Mm-hmm. And so like my 5-year-old knows what trans is. My 9-year-old like discusses it. Like she knows more about it than I do at this point. You know, she's very much in the, and you know, she went to like a queer camp because she has gay moms, you know? So she's like, mom, oh my God, that, they're non-binary. What's wrong with you? You know, like, but like you too, I mean, you weren't necessarily immersed in it. Like we are.
We were not. I mean, both of us had gay friends and like, and everyone's like, big whoop, everybody's got gay friends.
Right.
And I didn't know anyone who was personally trans.
Right. And so it wasn't in their lives. So because I remember the scene in the book when she finally, or she asked what, She saw a sign
in a fabulous Upper West Side bookstore that I'm going to say West Side Kids.
Yeah.
Had a sign in the door, in the window. There were 2 little rag dolls and one was holding like an index card handwritten that said protect trans kids. We passed the store every day on the way to school. I never noticed it.
Right.
And at the time, Gideon did notice it. Came back, you know, one day at the breakfast table was like, what does protect trans kids mean? And I, you know, my husband called me in. I went in, what's this about? And I was like, do you know what trans means? And both kids said no. And I said, well, when somebody is born and their outside parts suggest that they are, I mean, I put it in kid terms, that they are a boy or a girl, but inside they feel differently. Let's say they were born with a penis and their name was David, but inside they knew they were a girl and they were really Daphne. That person could be transgender. And the sign, protect trans kids, just meant be nice to trans kids, just like you're nice to every kid.
Right.
And both
right.
kids were like, oh, that's weird. Who would do that? Blah, blah, blah. And I mean, both of them, I can't distinguish between Gideon or Jacob, who thought it was stranger. But then for the next several weeks, I was peppered with questions, peppered with questions, peppered with questions.
How does someone know they're trans?
How do they know they're trans? Do you just one day use, go by a different name? Do you start dressing as a girl? Do I just grow my hair long? And then, you know, finally we're walking down the street. On the way home from school, I'm holding Gideon's hand and just, you know, we're having like a nice regular walk home from school moment without his brother who had a play date. And Gideon stops and looks at me and says, Mama, which I always thought it was funny that an Upper West Side Northern Jew called me Mama. But anyhow, you know, and Mama, yes, G, at that time I was sometimes calling G, I think I'm a transistor. It's like, do you mean transgender? Yes, when I was in your tummy, it was a mistake. I was supposed to come out a girl. And in retrospect, and I write this in the book, like, I wish I had said, oh, baby, nothing about you is a mistake. And I didn't. I said, you know, honey, whatever you are, whether you're a boy or a girl, if you say you're a girl, you are. And daddy and I will love you and we'll help you get through this. And I said, we'll help you get through this. Like, what does that mean? As though there's right. like some end point to this that magically I'm going to like dance us towards the end and everything's going to be fine. But what right. I did know in that moment, and we had been going to a gender support group for parents of gender nonconforming kids and trans mm-hmm. kids and for a while. And I didn't need that group to tell me that I would always go to bat for both of my kids. I didn't need a group right. to tell me that.
Right.
So I think just what I showed our child and what I show both children, what my husband shows them is just we love them. We accept them for who they are. And it was still really scary.
Yeah.
Because I was scared what the world would think. And
it's the unknown. Right?
Yeah.
It is the unknown. And like, this is an argument for more visibility. This is an argument for why the entire LGBTQIA community needs to be out and in the forefront so that the rest of the world and the country can see and understand that we're all human.
Right.
And nobody's weird. It's not unknown. It's not unknown. It can be a completely normal thing.
Absolutely.
And if our kids grow up seeing it,
absolutely.
Everywhere and just knowing about it from the start, we're going to get rid of some of the stigma and we're going to have much easier roads.
Absolutely. But I mean, and you could probably, without reading this, you probably know the answer to this one. Who reacted most favorably and with less shock value, the adults or
right.
the kids? The kids were like, oh, of course.
Right.
Gideon's Gabriella, of course. Like that was like a no-brainer.
Okay. Yeah.
And sometimes they still, you know, people unintentionally misgendered and had lots of questions and, you know, this and that. But no, nobody was really surprised on the kid front. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the kids were judgmental. I think the kids were happy for her that she
right.
knew who she was. And let's be honest. I'm here in New York City. This
yeah,
is
we're in a bubble.
We are in an absolute bubble. And normally I'm not a big fan of bubbles because I don't think they're healthy. And I think they give a false yeah. sense of reality and security.
Yeah.
And right
yeah.
now I'm glad my kid is in this bubble. Until
well,
she
exactly.
gets the strength and the wherewithal to be able to, you know, leave said bubble, which is scary. Because I think, what is there, like 23 or 24 states right now that are trying to legislate against, I mean, every state's trying to legislate against the queer
yeah.
community. And there's,
yeah.
of all the legislation, there's more anti-LGBTQ legislation this year than any other year. And
know,
about half
really...
of it is directed towards trans people. And
yep.
it is mind-boggling. And I don't have to tell you that because you live this and talk it and breathe it every day.
And now, like, you're just... a wonderful, complete ally here.
But again, I went back to when I was having kids, happy, healthy, kind. I did not,
yeah.
I mean, yes, I was scared of girls. Okay, yes. But that wasn't in my, that wasn't in my description of what I wanted to have.
Right.
I mean, I'm still a little scared of girls. And
aren't we all?
And she's a rock star. But you would do anything for your kids, right?
Exactly.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Yeah,
and there
exactly.
are a lot of parents who won't.
I know.
And you probably are in 12 billion groups like I am, where you hear the absolutely inspirational stories and the flip side, where somebody's
right.
being kicked out of their home or they're or being sent to conversion therapy, which that about is about as effective as me becoming a prima ballerina. It's mind-boggling and nutty to me, and I don't
yeah.
get it.
And again, like it all comes down to the unknown and the fact that it's not visible and it's not being highlighted and uplifted in a positive way.
Yeah. I mean, and the unknown is scary. And that's what
yeah.
I think a lot of hate, and there's certainly a lot of hate in our country. I think it stems from fear.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think fear is a more powerful and sometimes even a more effective emotion than hate. I think it's mm-hmm. sometimes it's healthy to fear something you don't know. I mean, if you don't know how to swim, you might fear the water.
Sure.
And you learn how
right.
to dive into the water.
You learn how to navigate it,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. there were some moments in the book you talk about in your journey. I shouldn't keep saying the book. This is your life. This is your journey. But there were some moments, you know, when you would talk about Gabriella suffering. And like at one point she said when she was still identifying as a he that she wanted to die.
She wanted to die. And that to me.
And that's an 8-year-old speaking.
And that was, I was like 6 or 7 at the time. And that was, and I knew what it was. And immediately I went to 2 friends who happened to be rabbis. Because I felt like that was a safe place. We didn't tell anybody about our daughter until she was ready to tell people about herself. We didn't want to quote unquote out her. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking that they were like, well, what's she so upset about? I said, I think he really wants to be a girl. I think he really is a girl and doesn't know. And of course, if I'm being honest, Jamie, as I said before, I was scared to say, hey, have you ever heard of transgender? And part of me wonders if I should not have done that years earlier. And great that I was going to support group. Great that my husband was going to support group. But I do feel like our fear kept us from, while we normalized everything to a great degree. I mean, like we bought tutus. I took her dress shopping when she still identified as a boy. Oh, great. Again, happy, healthy, kind.
You have all the Barbies you want, of course.
Oh my gosh. Right. Yes. And I told you she was obsessed with the naked Barbies, which is funny because naked Barbies are not anatomically correct. I mean, they do have boobs, but they don't have a vagina, nor do they have a penis. And maybe that's what she was glomming onto. It didn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, she loved her Barbie dolls and like never as Gideon, like walked around with Barbie dolls and often a naked one. We made her bring clothed ones to school just because we thought it was just for more appropriate reasons. But I really did believe that our kid was suffering because they were questioning their gender identity in a way that they didn't know. They didn't know the word for trans. They didn't know, I tell the story about when Caitlyn Jenner came out. I remember talking to my best friend from college whose kid was starting to transition. I'm like, did you tell your kids about, but her daughter hadn't transitioned yet. Did you tell your kids about Caitlyn? And her response was, well, I mean, I live in the same town as the Jenners. And she's like, but different side of town. She's like, but my kids are older. Of course, that's what we talked about at dinner tonight. I'm like, do I tell my kids about Caitlyn? You know, because we'd never told our kids what trans meant.
Right. It wasn't a part of the conversation.
It wasn't. And now what's so funny, again, not ha, ha, ha. It's like a huge part of a conversation in every school. Well, in every school in New York City that leans progressive. I would say leans human, but.
Yeah, well, I would say that it's not there enough, honestly. Like,
Of course not.
My kid's school's in Chelsea, which is, you know, gay mecca of New York.
Sure.
Or it used to be. And they barely even do anything for Pride Month. Like, they don't even talk, you know. And I think there needs to be more. They have a teeny tiny little section of queer books, like the teeny tiniest little in the library. And it's like hidden in another place, you know.
Right. And it's like you're doing us a favor to have three books to choose from.
Right. And that's not enough.
No.
You know, for any child who might be wrestling with their identity and suffering.
Yeah. I mean, and we did read My Princess Boy to our kid. I mean, and I've been in touch with the author who's an absolute rock star. And now that book is banned in several states. Just about a boy who liked dressing up as a princess.
I know.
And, you know, we would read the book to Gideon at his therapist. And I'm like, isn't this a beautiful story? And then we read the book to Jacob so that Jacob knew this is prior to us, you know, confirming that our child was trans. Read it to Jacob so that Jacob knew that, you know, some people have brothers who wear dresses. And that book is now outlawed in a bunch of places or banned. It's sad and it's scary. And I don't have to tell you this, representation matters.
Exactly.
It's almost like in order to be counted, you have to be part of the conversation.
Exactly.
Or else you don't exist.
And if parents aren't talking to their kids about all identities, we're doing humans on this earth a disservice.
And an injustice. Both.
An injustice. Yeah.
What was interesting though, I will say that prior to my daughter going to her current school, they did sex ed, or I don't think they call it sex ed anymore.
Health.
They did it in boys and girls. It wasn't assigned. It was just who assigned at birth, assigned male at birth, assigned female. They did it in groups. Since my daughter became part of the community, they now don't do that. Because
they
I think they break down into smaller groups, but they are mixed groups of mixed gender identities. But thanks to, hormone therapy, which she chose to go on with our guidance and that of a gender therapist and an endocrinologist and a doctor, doesn't happen overnight. Anyone who's stumbling upon this podcast, you don't just get to do this. It's not a random decision. You know, she's starting to develop. And it's pretty awesome. It's awesome because it makes her happy. Not everybody wants that. And not everybody needs that to be a girl. That's what I tell her. Like, you don't need boobs to be a girl. You don't need a vagina to be a girl. You don't need a penis to be a boy. I mean, and she knows how she would like her body to be. And to the extent that she can, she will, as age permits and as legislation permits and as healthcare permits, she will make those changes with our full support.
Yeah, that's great. And hopefully we continue to have all the access and rights that we should. In that respect. But like, I just want to ask I want to talk about one more thing.
Sure.
I do love the perspective of Gabriella's twin brother and him going through it with his twin.
Yeah.
And he went through some real emotions and he was the same age as Gabriella going through
it.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
It was excruciating for him. He was embarrassed first that his twin brother loved pink and purple and was always, you know, hanging out with Barbie dolls. And people would sometimes make fun of him for that. Jacob, you know, Gabriella's brother, who was not playing with Barbie dolls, because sometimes kids can be mean. And most of the time they're not. And sometimes they can be. And it was hard for him. And he also felt that his, you know, sister was sucking up a lot of the attention. I mean, the transition didn't happen overnight. It took months. It took planning. She was terrified to leave. It's still happening. And he just felt like the odd man out. And, you know, we got a special therapist for him. And there's not many therapists out there that are known for treating the cisgender twin of a transgender sibling. There's not like a market for that right now, not even in New York. And I searched. We wanted someone who could relate to my cisgender son and let him know that he was okay and his sister's okay and this is okay. And it's not normal or not normal. It just is. It's life. And again, he was 8 and that was really, really hard. And he came pretty angry. But fast forward to when Jacob was 13 last year, I'm walking down a city street with him. And occasionally he still lets me hold his hand. I mean, he's way taller than me. We are a large family. We breed big. And I said to him, I said, can I tell you something? He said, yeah, we were kind of having a heart to heart. I said, you know, when your sister transitioned, we tried to give you what you needed. And Jacob, we didn't. And I said, I wish we did. I mean, we tried. We got you the therapist. We talked to you. We thought we did everything that we knew how to do. And no matter how much we did, it wasn't what you needed. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, this is a 13-year-old. He's like, well, to be honest, Mom, I didn't know what I needed. Mm-hmm. And I said, to be honest, we didn't either. And I'm sorry that we couldn't give you what you needed. And he said, that's okay. I love you. I mean, and that's a real conversation. I mean, I might have taken out some 13-year-old grunts, you know, but just because they don't translate well on a podcast. And truly, we didn't. Mm-hmm. Jamie, we didn't give him what he needed. And I don't know what that would have looked like. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't give your kids what they need because they don't know what they need and you don't know what they need. And that for me is the hardest part. You know, like you can't control a lot of this. This is just, you know, kids grow up. Mm-hmm. You can't make everything quote unquote right for them. You can't make it all better. It's a fabulous fairy tale idea. You can do your best. You can try to give them what they need. You can seek external support and resources. And sometimes it's still not enough. Mm-hmm. And that broke my heart. And now they're really close and wonderful. And it's still a journey.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
But for both of them. And I don't know. Yes, it's always going to be a journey. And I'm not going to classify who it's more difficult for because it's not a competition. I will just say that it was hard for her. It was hard for him. But on the other hand, you know, I look at our kids and I'm like, I always say these are the perfect kids for us. Like I would hand select these kids any day of the week. They are perfect for us. I don't believe in perfection, but they're definitely perfect for us. And I'm proud of them. And I think they're both brave and cool and fabulous and silly and ultra annoying and have gutter mouths at age 14 and sometimes say things that I really wish they wouldn't say. And sometimes they drive us nuts and that's their job. But I could not love them more or be more proud of them, which is cool. I mean, you know that as a mom. I mean, that's the coolest thing in the world. I mean, they drive you crazy and you love them more than life.
Yeah, more than anything. Yeah. You know, I think you're doing a great job. And I love that you're just following her lead and you're staying open and honest and, you know, that's what counts.
Thanks.
Full of love.
I mean, I screw up every day. And now that they're 14, they tell me. I mean, every day, like multiple times. It's like they're keeping a list. And that's okay too.
Oh, it's hard. Parenting is hard. Can you give like kind of advice to any like cisgender parent who might be kind of in the moment where they're realizing maybe that this could be my child or trying to get through the transition with their child and queer parent as well?
Honestly, love your child. Let your child know that you are there for him, her, or them regardless. Love your child, accept your child, affirm your child, wherever mm-hmm. they are in any of this continuum. And for yourself, read, get support, check mm-hmm. resources. There are amazing ones in here in New York City. There are amazing ones nationally online. Even if you can't go in person, there is a purpose. Even if you can't go in person, thanks to the ridiculousness that was the plague, i.e. COVID, many of these support groups are online now for parents, mm-hmm. kids, teens, siblings. I think you need the information. And then you need to be able to be with your child where they are, whatever right. stage of the process they're in. And I just really think it's important to let them know you love them and to affirm them. Everybody wants to be accepted. There's an amazing place in town, Gender Family Project. Their motto is acceptance is protection. And that's true. Mm-hmm. Accepting mm-hmm. a child, no matter what the child is, for gender or for likes, whether they're a gymnast or a baseball player or mm-hmm. they play the violin or they sit and play video games all day. I know no 14-year-olds like that. Accept your child. Acceptance is protection. And the mm-hmm. studies indicate, and I'm not a scientist, but the studies indicate that if you affirm and accept your child, your trans child, their mental health outcomes will be similar to those cisgender kids who are accepted and affirmed.
Yeah.
It is not, yeah. it's not the notion of being trans that leads to bad outcomes or unhealthy outcomes. It is society's reaction to a trans person that leads to unhealthy outcomes. So right. love your kid, accept your kid, because acceptance is protection.
Yeah.
And even if you don't understand it, you don't have to understand it. That's mm-hmm. what parents fail to understand. You don't have to understand it. Love and accept your kid. Be there for them and even say, hey, I don't understand this and I love you. So talk to me and tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what this means. Tell me how I can help you.
Yeah, I love it. Keep that conversation open. And then I would take it one step further to all cisgendered parents out there and queer parents out there. Surround your children with books about all kinds of identities from birth.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So that it's never a, oh God, I have to tell them about what this is. And I have to tell them about what this. No, it should just be a part of our conversation.
Absolutely. The heck with taboo. I deal like with what is. What, the reality is, these are the types of people out there. And it's and it doesn't actually even make you a type. It's one component of a person. It does not define. Like, I got to be honest, being trans does not define my daughter.
No, of course.
She is this awesome being, and it is one of the millions of components that make her an awesome human being.
Exactly.
They're just part of her. So I think we just need to talk more and normalize it more, because it is normal. Charged word, and it is.
And telling your kids about queer people and trans folks is not going to make them that.
Am I not going to be gay just by talking to you?
Right, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's not, you know, like, and I think that there's some weird myth that, oh, well, if I talk to them, they're only two. If I talk to them about this, then it's going to put an idea in their head. No, it's not. It's not.
Well, if that was the case, I would have told them really on that they were good at math and going to do really well with numbers.
Exactly.
And that didn't happen. And
no, exactly. Break down these taboos. I think that's that's the message. And I love it. And I, you know, I'm glad you're sharing your story and
thank you
know, that everybody is happy and healthy and kind.
And kind.
That is really what matters.
Yeah.
Really
happy, healthy, kind.
Yeah.
I have added alive to the mix, because some of the, I'm just going there. Some of the pending legislation in our country, you know, it has to be happy, healthy, kind, alive. Mm-hmm. I think if people really care about people, then they will legislate, live, and talk to their kids with those things in mind.
They really should. And together.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to rip us apart, which is also just awful.
Never good.
No. Oh, my God. Well, this has just been great. Tell everybody the book, where they can find it, all the things.
Absolutely. The things. Transistor, Raising Twins in a Gender-Bending World. You can get it on. It's actually available for purchase right now on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever books are bought and sold. It actually is in pre-sales right now.
Yeah. And it's a great book. And you should buy a copy and read it.
And it's not just if you have a trans kid. I mean, statistically, 40% of us know someone trans.
Yeah.
So that means almost one out of every two people, when you do my math, know someone who's trans. Don't you just want to know your neighbor? I mean, even if you're not parenting one.
Yeah. In the cause for normalization and celebration, read the books all about all the identities.
Agreed.
And get to know them and get to love them.
Amen.
Because they're all beautiful.
Yeah, that is true.
And can people find you anywhere?
Yes. I am online at transistormom.com. And transistor is spelled T-R-A-N-S-I-S-T-E-R, like transistor, mom.com. And on Twitter and Facebook at transistormom.
Perfect. Do all the things.
I always say, if any moms, dads, kids want to reach out to me, I talk to people almost every day of the week, friends of a friend or somebody who knows of somebody whose kid might be having some gender-related questions and or is thinking of transitioning. To use an overused expression, it does take a village. And it can be scary if you don't know what you're dealing with and if people don't talk about things. So I just think the more of us from every walk of life who talks to people and talks about things with people that we might not know about, I think it's helpful. So I'm always happy to talk to people and or lead them in the direction of some sort of resource that's going to be infinitely more helpful than me.
Well, I absolutely love it. I love talking to you, and maybe we'll run into each other on the streets of the city. Who knows?
I hope so. That would be great. Parenting is hard and parenting is fabulous.
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything all rolled up into one. Well, this has been a pleasure, Kate. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jamie.
And we'll talk soon, I'm sure.
I hope so. Have a good one.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.